Okay, chapter 23 of Isaiah. This is the last of the burdens of this section from Isaiah 17 through 23. Nations, including Judah and the nations around Judah, that God is dealing with, and actually these prophecies concern. If you look at chapter 23, verse 1, it says, "A burden, or the oracle, against Tyre. Wail, you ships of Tarshish, for is laid waste so that there is no house, no harbor. The land of Cyprus, it is revealed to them. Be still, you inhabitants of coastlands, you merchants of Sidon, whom those who cross the sea have filled, and the great waters, the grain of Shihor. The harvest of the river is her revenue, and she is the marketplace for the nations. Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken. The strength of the sea, saying, I do not labor, nor bring forth children, neither do I rear young men, nor bring up virgins. When the report reaches Egypt, they also be in agony at the report of Tyre. Cross over to Tarshish. Wail, you inhabitants of the coastland. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is from ancient days, whose feet carried her far off to dwell?" The burden against Tyre. Tyre is one of the oldest cities in the world. According to Herodotus, it was founded in 2700 BC. It's on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. It's called a fortified city in Joshua 19:29. So even then it was a great city. It had walls which were 150 feet high around it. It was an island. And so it was virtually impregnable. It was part of the area called Phoenicia. Today, in fact, Sidon is its sister city, 20 miles up the coast. Tyre is a city today of over 100,000 in southern Lebanon. And of course, Tyre was, Phoenicia was famous for the cedars of Lebanon. The city itself had two parts. The main city was on an island, 1/2 mile of shore offshore, and its sister city on the shore, which was kind of like a suburb. The main city was the island. It was famous for its shipping industry and trade, which extended beyond Gibraltar to the Great Britain and the Indian Ocean. So the sailors of Tyre were very famous. It planted colonies in many other places, including Carthage, Sicily, Greece, and Spain. And it was also known as a center for the worship of Ashtoreth and Baal. And so when you see Tyre, Tyre actually is a symbol of commercialism. And the same thing is said of Babylon or Tyre, as is said about commercial Babylon in, if you turn over to Revelation 18, we'll see much the same language, which probably is associated with Tyre, because Tyre is a symbol, just as Babylon is a symbol. And you remember there's three legs to the stool of Babylon. Remember that? Which speaks of the one world entity of the end times, the spirit of Babylon. Remember what those three legs are? What's that? No, you're thinking of the image. And that only had two legs. Right. So it had three legs, commercial or political and religious. And so this commercial Babylon is seen here in Revelation 18. It says, "Now, after these things, I saw another great angel, or angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become a dwelling place of the demons, a prison for every awful or foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in the sins and lest you receive of her plagues. Verse 7, in the measure that she gloriously glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow, and I will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in a day, death and mourning, famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object and most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and incense, fragrant oil, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, bodies of souls of men. The fruit of your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such a great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster also who travels by ship, sailors as many as trade the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. So this is the city of Babylon, which, again, Tyre is a symbol of that attitude that of commercialism and wealth at the expense of righteousness. Tyre was famous, as I said, for its shipping industry. It also was famous for a purple dye, which was made from a mollusk that's only found in that area. And so when it says that, was it Deborah was a seller of purple? That Lydia was a seller of purple. That was that purple dye that was Tyre was famous for and made garments that were worn by nobility. And the Bible has little good to say about Tyre, although under David and Solomon during the reign of Hiram, it had good relationships with them. And so we'll look at that first over in 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. We see this friendship between Hiram and David. So it's more or less like a trade agreement between these two nations. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 10 says, so David went in on and became great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. Then Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David a house. And David knew that the Lord had established him. So here we have Hiram that is giving materials for David's palace. And later on, he'll give materials and workmen and craftsmen for the building of the temple as well. 1 Kings chapter 5. Verse 1. 1 Kings 5, 1, it says, "Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon, because he heard that they had anointed him king in place of his father, for Hiram had always loved David. Then Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, 'You know how my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord, his God, because of the wars which were fought against him on every side, until the Lord put his foes under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There's neither adversary nor evil occurrence. Behold, I propose to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke to my father David, saying, Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, he shall build the house for my name. Now therefore command that they cut down the cedars for me from Lebanon, and my servants will be with your servants, and I will pay your wages for your servants according to the whatever you say. For you know there is none among us who has skill to cut timber like the Sidonians.' So it was, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly and said, 'Blessed be the Lord this day, for he has given David a wise son over this great people.' Then Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, 'I have considered the message which you sent me. I will do all you desire concerning the cedar and cypress logs. My servants shall bring them down from Lebanon to the sea. I will float them in rafts by sea to the place you indicate to me, and I will have them broken apart there. Then you can take them away, and you shall fulfill my desire by giving food for my household.' Then Hiram sent Solomon cedar and cypress logs according to his desire. Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household and 20 cores of pressed oil. Thus Solomon gave to Hiram year by year. So the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he had promised him, and there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty together." Then if you go to chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "Also the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought great quantities of almug wood and precious stones from Ophir." So these were part of the things that they were put in the temple. And then in verse 22, it says, "For the king had merchant ships at sea with the fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the merchant ships came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys." And so he was in partnership with Hiram in his shipbuilding and shipping industry, as well as this trade agreement. But it was through Solomon's marriages to Phoenician women that the worship of Ashtoreth was introduced into Israel. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. "But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, and the Hittites." Sidonians are the same as the Phoenicians, the people of Tyre. Verse 2, "From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, 'You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after these gods,'" or their gods, "Solomon clung to these in love." Now this is a good warning to us today as well, isn't it? For our young people, don't even consider marriage to an unbeliever. It's not of God. God forbids it. Because you think you're going to convert them, and what happens is they convert you. They have that strong influence on you to turn from God. Verse 5. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, did not follow the Lord as his father David had. Verse 33. Because they have forsaken me and worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the gods of the Moabites, Milcom, the god of the people of Ammon, have not walked in my ways to do what is right in my eyes and keep my statutes, my judgments, as did his father David. See how this worked? Solomon married these foreign women. These foreign women had a influence on Solomon. So he started worshiping their gods. And pretty soon the people of the nation began worshiping those same gods. And ultimately the nation will be brought into captivity because of that. And so having godly leadership is important, isn't it? Because you influence the people that you lead. That's true in every area, from being a husband and father to being a political leader or any kind of leader in a church. The church is not going to rise above its leadership. It's just as simple as it is. Jezebel, you remember, was the daughter of a Phoenician king. And what did she introduce into Israel? The worship of Baal. So you have Ashtoreth, which was the female god. You have Baal, which is the male god of the Sidonians of Tyre. And they had temples and worship. When it talks about the worship on the groves in the high hills in Israel, that's what it was, the worship of Ashtoreth. And that was introduced by Solomon, and it continued all through Israel's history. And how many times it said that they did not abolish that worship because it was so seductive. It was very immoral, and the people continued to do it even when they had good kings. Tyre is also a picture of greed, seeking affluence at the expense of justice and humanity, and also of self-sufficiency and pride. Let's look at some verses about that. Amos chapter 1. And we're just looking at some of the verses that concern Tyre. There's many more. Amos chapter 1. That's Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Chapter 1. And Amos has several edicts or oracles against different nations for different reasons. Amos chapter 1, verse 9 says, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four I will not turn away its punishment, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom. It did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. I'll send fire upon the wall of Tyre, which shall devour its palaces. So apparently they delivered up the people of Israel, Judah, to Edom as for slavery. It says they didn't remember the covenant of brotherhood. Remember that Hiram had with David. They were friends. They made an agreement. But for money, they broke that covenant. And in fact, they were very inhumane in dealing with the lives of people, slavery. That ultimately caught up with with Tyre, because when Alexander defeated them, he killed 8,000 people, citizens, and 30,000 women, and mostly women and children, he sold into slavery. Zechariah chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 1, says, "The burden of the Lord, of the word of the Lord, against the land of Hadrach and Damascus, its resting place, that's Syria, for the eyes of men and all the tribes of Israel are on the Lord, and against Hamath, which borders on it, and against Tyre and Sidon, though they are very wise. For Tyre built herself a tower, heaped up silver like the dust, and gold like the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out. He will destroy her power in the sea, and she will be devoured by fire." Picture of greed, affluence, seeking wealth at the expense of justice and humanity. Also for her self-sufficiency and pride, Ezekiel 27. In fact, in chapter 27, 28, he talks about Tyre. And he likens the king of Tyre to Satan himself in chapter 28. But in 27, verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Now, son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyre, and say to Tyre, you who are situated at the entrance of the sea, merchant of the peoples on many coastlands, thus says the Lord." See, Tyre, this island city, actually had two harbors, and they were the best harbors in the Mediterranean, two of the best harbors. And so that's why they were such effective in trade, because of these harbors. They were the merchant of the peoples. Well, verse 3, "And said Tyre, you who are situated at the entrance sea, merchants of the people on many coastland, thus says the Lord God, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. Your borders are in the midst of the seas." And that was their wall, apparently. "Your builders have perfected your beauty. They made all your planks of fir trees from Sinar and took cedar from Lebanon to make you a mast. Of oaks from Bashan they made your oars. The company of Asherites have inlaid your planks with ivory from the coasts of Cyprus." "Fine embroidered linen from Egypt was what was spread for your sail. Blue and purple from the coast of Elisha was what covered you. Inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad, you were your oarsmen. Your wise men, O Tyre, were in you. They became your pilots. Elders of Gebel and its wise men were in you to caulk your seams. All the ships of the sea and their oarsmen were in you to market your merchandise. Those from Persia, Lydia, and Libya were in your army as men of war. They hung shields and helmets in you. They gave splendor to you. Men of Arvad with your army were all your whales, all your walls all around. And the men of Gimad were in your towers. They hung their shields on your walls all around. They made your beauty perfect." This is quite a nation, quite a city. Very prosperous. Chapter 28. And you can read the whole chapters if you'd like later. Verse Chapter 20, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a god, I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the seas. Yet you are a man and not a god, though you set your heart as the heart of God. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you gain riches for yourself, gather gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom and trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. But because of this, because Tyre had prostituted itself and was called, therefore, a harlot, because she sacrificed her moral principles in exchange for money. Isn't that what she did? In order to gain riches, she compromised what is right. Took advantage of people. Sold people into slavery. Do people do that today? Is that a temptation for us? Look back at Psalm. Keep your finger here in Ezekiel because we'll come back here. But look at Psalm 15. See, it's always a temptation to sacrifice principle in order to get gain. And that's what's called Jesuit casuistry, which is the end justifies the means. And so if my goal is to enrich myself, then I'll compromise my principles in order to get that. If my goal is to honor the Lord in all I do, I won't do that. The money is not that important. The gain isn't that important. God is what's important. Notice what he says here in Psalm 15. And notice the heading here, the character of those who may dwell in with the Lord. Psalm of David, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friends. You know, God counts gossip very important. Very evil. Verse 4, in those in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In other words, he makes a promise, but he finds out to keep that promise is going to cost him more than he thought. But he does not change. He's going to go through with it, even though it's going to cost him something. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. See, these are all ways that we can gain something for ourselves while compromising our principles. Well, Tyre had no problem with that. They didn't care who they ran over. It's much like the situation today with many who take advantage of others for their own personal gain. There's a lot of duplicitous people out there that, for instance, they'll promote a cause like save the planet. But their goal really isn't to save the planet. Because only one person can save the planet, and that's the one who made the planet. That's the Lord, right? So what is their goal? What do you think? I mean, we're kind of judging motives now, but okay, that might be part of it. Some of them do. There are tree huggers out there. But most of them aren't quite that honest. What's their goal? To enrich themselves. It's a money-making scheme. You sell carbon credits, make millions, or who? CEOs make a lot of money? Charities that get money for saving the dolphins. Right. All right. So there's a lot of those things going on. And it's much like a drug dealing on a different scale. Because a drug dealer really is destroying people's lives, isn't he? But why is he doing it? To enrich himself. And so that's the thing that God is condemning. He's not condemning the fact that they made money. That's not a sin. That's, you know. But taking advantage of people and for your own benefit. Okay, let's look at some of the judgments then on Tyre. Ezekiel 26, verse 1. It said, it came to pass in the 11th year, the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is Ezekiel 26, verse 2, son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken, who was the gateway of the peoples. Now she is turned over to me. I shall be filled. She is laid waste. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come against you as the sea causes its waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I'll also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. And so he said, And here they're taking advantage of Jerusalem. Her walls are broken down, and so she's going to go in and get the gain there for herself. Chapter 27, verse 32. In their wailing for you, they will take up a lamentation, a lament for you. What city is like Tyre, destroyed in the midst of the sea? When your waves went out, by sea, wares went out by sea, you satisfied many people. You enriched the kings of the earth with your many luxury goods and your merchandise. But you are broken by the seas and the depths of the seas. Your merchandise and the entire company will fall in your midst. All the inhabitants of the isles will be astonished at you. Their kings will be greatly afraid. Their countenance will be troubled. The merchants among the people will hiss at you. You will become a horror and be no more forever. And of course, that's ultimately fulfilled. We look at Babylon in Revelation 18, commercial Babylon's destruction. Okay, let's look back then at Isaiah, and we'll go through this quickly. Chapter 23. So now you know what he's talking about in this chapter. And why Tyre is singled out as a city to be punished by God. The city actually was besieged on many occasions. Once by Sennacherib in 701, which would be during the time of Isaiah. Later by Nebuchadnezzar, same time he was taking Jerusalem. And ultimately by Alexander the Great, who built a causeway to the island and took it in 323 BC. See, the problem with taking Tyre was that it was an island and they had a 150-foot wall around it. So how are you going to take it? Alexander didn't have a navy. So what he did, he took the rubble from the city on the shore and he threw it into the sea. And he built a causeway that went right out to the island, and then he attacked it and took it that way. And that was really the first time that it was taken in 323. Nebuchadnezzar besieged it for many years and never actually took the nation. They believe that it actually made a deal with him in the end, but he couldn't take it. But he put it under tribute later. Okay, so first of all, we have the response to the destruction of Tyre in verses 1 through 7. That's the verses we read. This is the response of the people of the Mediterranean, of those who trade with Tyre. Let's pick it up again in verse 1. Of the burden against Tyre. Wail, you ships of Tarshish. Tarshish was is another name for Spain. And it's a figure of a far distance seaport or land. For it is all is laid waste, so that there is no house, no harbor. In the land of Cyprus, it is revealed to them. Cyprus, apparently, they're coming back from Tarshish in their ships. They come to Cyprus and they hear the word that Tyre has been taken. Be still, you inhabitants of the coastland, you merchants of Sidon, whom those who cross the sea have filled. And on the great waters, the grain of Shihor. Shihor is another name for the Nile River. In Egypt, the harvest of the river is her revenue, and she is a marketplace for the nations. So Egypt was dependent upon Tyre, the ships of Tyre, for marketing her grain and hauling it to different marketplaces. Verse 4, be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken. The strength of the sea, saying, I do not labor, nor bring forth children, neither do I rear young men, nor bring up virgins. In other words, I don't have anything to show for my work here. There's no ships going in and out. When the report reaches Egypt, they also will be in agony at the report of Tyre. Cross over to Tarshish. Wail, you inhabitants of the coastland. And so they escaped. Many of the people escaped from the city and ships before it was taken. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is from ancient days, whose feet carried her far off to dwell? Who has taken this counsel against Tyre? Now this second part is the reason for the destruction of Tyre, or who's responsible for this destruction? Who has taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traders are the honorable of the earth? Who are the great men of the earth today? People of influence, people with money. And many of them have gotten that way and are maintaining their wealth through underhanded dealing, right? Through crony capitalism, special deals, under the table. Kickbacks, quid pro quo. That means something for something. In other words, you give a speech and get lots of money for it, but there's a reason you get lots of money for your speech, other than your speech. That's called a quid pro quo. Verse 9, the Lord of hosts has purposed it to bring dishonor to the pride of all glory, to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. In other words, the chickens come home to roost, don't they? You reap what you sow. Eventually it comes back to haunt you, either in this life or the next. Verse 10, overflow through your land like the river. That's the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord has given a commandment against Canaan to destroy its strongholds. And he said, you will rejoice no more, O you oppressed virgin, daughter of Sidon. Arise, cross over to Cyprus. In other words, escape. There also you will have no rest. Behold the land of the Chaldeans. This people, which was not, Assyria founded it for wild beasts of the desert. They set up its towers, they raised up its palaces, and brought it to ruin. In other words, this land of the Chaldeans, which is going to be revived, he says, and will be the ones who will come to attack Tyre. Verse 14, wail, you ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. And then in verses 15 through 18, we have the restoration of Tyre. And I want to make one point on this, these other verses on the destruction of Tyre. God is in control here, isn't he? God is the one who is bringing destruction and judgment upon Tyre. Now, he uses human instruments, but it's God who is directing these human instruments. And so when we look at all the political machinations that are going on now with elections, we know who's ultimately in control. And so we can really, we don't have to be all shook up about when we see this poll or that poll or this person says this or this person says that. God is in control. And if he wanted us to worry about it, he'd say, worry about it. But he tells us, don't worry about it. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't have an interest in it and we don't do what we can to do what's right. But it was God who judged Tyre, and God is going to judge this world in righteousness. He's going to set the things straight that need to be straightened out. It's not going to be Mr. Whoever that does it, even though he may claim that he's going to do it, or she. Verse 15, now it came to pass, in the day that Tyre will be forgotten, the 70 years, according to the days of the one king, at the end of 70 years, it will happen to Tyre, as in the song of the harlot. So there's going to be a period of time when Tyre, after she is devastated, that she will sit for 70 years. Verse 16, take a harp, go about the city, you forgotten harlot, make sweet melodies, sing many songs, that you may be remembered. So in the period after Nebuchadnezzar's besieging the city, it became less of a power, and so it pretty much remained without power for that period of time. Verse 17, and it shall be at the end of 70 years that the Lord will deal with Tyre. She will return to her hire and commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. Her gain and her pay will be set apart for the Lord. You see, the difference here is ultimately God is going to take the wealth of the nations, and he's looking forward to the end now. And the wealth of the nations is going to come to Jesus Christ and his kingdom. It will be for the Lord. It will be set apart for the Lord. That's what was written on the priest's garments. Holiness to the Lord. It's set apart for him. And so all the wealth of this world someday is going to be the wealth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They used to criticize Moody for taking money from unbelievers. And he said, well, the Satan's had long enough. I want to use it for the Lord now. And I don't know if he actually looked for money from unbelievers, but if they gave it, he used it for God's glory. He said, this money is going to be used for the Lord. It will not be treasured nor laid up. It's not going to be hoarded like they used to do it in Tarshish or in Tyre. For her gain will be for those who dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for fine clothing. So that day is coming, my friends, and maybe soon. Okay, we'll take some prayer requests, then we'll dismiss for prayer.